Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow, glory to Jesus. It is such an honor to be here tonight to share with us the word of the Lord. Obviously, we would not have the time to press very deep. I'm sure the Lord has been, the presence of God, the word of the Lord has already come to us very strongly. The move of the Spirit has already been released upon us by the man of God, Dr. Paul, who has done so wonderful. Thank you so much, sir. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me. I want to salute the GCCF president here in Michael Okwara University, Umudike. It's an honor to be here, and I don't take it for granted. Tonight, I'll be speaking in the place of my father, Apostle Arome Osai, and I trust the Lord that what he wants to do, he will do tonight in the name of Jesus. You know, we are aware that it doesn't take God eternity to do that which is eternal. The whole world was created in 6 days, and we've not been able to explore all the dimensions of the world. So I'm certain that in the next 10-15 minutes that I'll be saluting you, God will see. Talk to someone, and then tomorrow we'll have all the time to do the build-up. Hallelujah. So just in case you are expectant tonight, can you lift your hands toward heaven and whisper something to the Father? Talk to Jesus very quickly from the depths of your heart. You have an expectation, it's time to alter it to the heavens. You see, words are not primarily designed for communication. Can you lift your voices tonight and release an expectation? The Bible said, the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. The Lord has visited already, but there is still much more the Lord can do. Kaya! Precious Father, once again we look up to you for access, for wisdom, for penetration. We ask that, Lord, you will release your presence upon us tonight. We ask that you bring us into depth in the spirit, where the revelation of your life is accessible. We ask that you breathe upon us the very depth of your essence, that every one of us will interact with reality as it is indeed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because we know you will animate every word tonight and bring us into the experience of God. Take all the glory, Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. In the precious name of Jesus. Just keep it calm. Sit down. God bless you. Tonight, I will just bring a salutation by the word of the Lord. I'll be talking for 15 minutes. And then we'll pray for 5 minutes and we'll be out of here. The man of God has already moved in the power of God and then has brought you the word of God. I'll just lay a few blocks on what the Lord has already begun to do. And when we have the time tomorrow, it will be a festival of power. I thought you were excited. Maybe you are not used to seeing strange dimensions of God in this place. You are not used to it. So when we say power, you think it's about falling down. Tomorrow will be a night of power. In the name of Jesus. We are gathered together for the Eagles Conference, and I happen to understand that the emphasis of God for this season and in your territory is the emphasis of revival. The Lord is out to set young people on fire so that they can sustain the capacity that is required to host that which He wants to do in this season. Who is on the keyboard? You don't leave the keyboard. You stay on the keyboard. You stay on the keyboard. There are many things that God has designed to carry out in different dispensations of His move among humankind. It's important for us to understand that before God decided to embark on the project of creation, there was a well-defined purpose in His heart. When you look at the patterns in creation, when you look at the intelligence by which creation was fabricated, the first thing it suggests to you is that the being, the intelligence that is behind the creation of the things you see must be a being of the highest level of wisdom and power. When you look at the cycles and the circles in creation, you would understand that nothing in creation is by accident. For example, you look at the trees on their own accord. They know how to absorb nutrients from the ground. And on the strength of the nutrient they absorb from the ground, there is an intrinsic operation on their inside that gives them the capacity to create fruits. And those fruits become the chain by which the next generation of trees will be created. So when you begin to study the cycles of creation, you will understand that whoever it was that was behind the design of creation must be a very superlative entity with the highest form of intelligence. And if that argument is true, that the creator of all things is a being of great intelligence, then you would understand that you were not designed for nothing. It means whatever it is that that creator that sustains that level of intelligence decided to embark upon before he created you must be something that is beyond what you can think or imagine. This is why every time understanding begins to come to us, we set ourselves on an adventure of self-discovery. Because it is possible for you to walk within the borders of time and think that life is about pleasure and the things you like. So every day you run after the things that were motivated by your appetites, and you begin to live like the animals. Because you don't understand that the creator of all things had a purpose in mind before he began to create you. So the moment you think about money, you think about ice cream, you think about food, you just walk in that direction. And your appetite becomes the catalyst that facilitates the direction of your migration. You look at a lady and because she's beautiful and you think you want to cleave onto her, you rush after her. You see another one, you rush after her because you have not discovered that the one that embarked on the protocol of creation is a being of great intelligence. And even though we are numerous in number, he was meticulous when he fabricated the purpose for every one of us. Even though we may be 10,000 in a small location, the very hair on our head are numbered. Because when he was in the studio of eternity and he was fabricating your dimension, he weaved the purpose into your life. And he expected you that upon your appearance in time, you will give expression to that purpose. So your life begins to count from eternity, the day you find that purpose in time and you begin to live it. If you are not able to discover the reason for which that intelligent creator decided to wire your being, you may live in time as a being of appetite, and you will do all you want to do until breath is released from your nostrils. And when you appear on the other side of the divide, then you would understand that you were not just created to walk through time. There was something that was written concerning you before the very foundations of the world. And the reason God allowed you to appear in this time was because he wanted you to give expression to that thing that was written concerning you. So men like Moses dwelt in the palace of Pharaoh, living in all forms of pleasure, because in the days of Moses, civilization had its root in Egypt. So the Bible spoke about the pleasures of Egypt that men like Moses lived in. Egypt was the ground where knowledge began from. And every form of pleasure you can imagine was in Egypt. The guy woke up with princesses, taking him to the stream to have his bath. Until one day, the Bible said, when Moses was come of age, something had happened in the guy's thinking process. All the while, the greatest advantage he thought he had was his affiliation with Pharaoh's daughter. So he wanted to be Pharaoh's daughter so that one day, as a prince in Egypt, he may become the Pharaoh. But when he came of age, he began to perceive the beast, the ambience of heaven. He began to perceive the whisper from Zion. And suddenly the Bible said Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was beginning to perceive something that came from a dimension that was outside the borders of human dwelling. He was beginning to understand something that was deeper than the pleasures that Egypt had to offer. The burdens of eternity began to rest upon his heart. And for the first time, the Bible said Moses was come of age. When the Bible said Moses was come of age, the criteria was not about the years of his life. Because come of age, as used in that scripture, had nothing to do with age. The moment Moses came of age, he began to understand priorities for the regions of eternity. And the first thing the Bible said Moses did was that he cut off his affiliation from the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, Egypt is a type of the world system.
When a man is a child and a babe, everything that defines his essence are the value systems that he gets from his affiliation to the world. But the day a man begins to grow according to the calendars of heaven, the first thing that man does is that he migrates from the world. He said when Moses was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasures of Egypt, because he saw him that was invincible. When you see people that have not separated themselves to walk in the path of the divine, then they are still babes. And the Bible said in Galatians chapter 4 verse 1, it said the heir, so long as he's a child, differeth nothing from the servant, even though he be Lord of all. How many of us are children here? You want to know your age in the spirit, find out the things that define your priorities. You reign, you ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You see a prophet, born prophet, because he has the ability to read people's minds and people's emotions. It gives him an advantage over people, and he begins to use that ability to woo ladies. So he knows what to tell them to make them fall for him. That man is a child. The day he comes of age, he will realize that the prophetic powers that he has is designed to find out the purpose of people and give meaning to their lives. But unfortunately, this man may live like that for 40 years like Moses, and he will not come of age. What is your age in the spirit? When you begin to evaluate your value system and the things that inform your greatest motivation, then you begin to understand how old you are in the spirit. Many are revival. Leaders in church, presidents of fellowship, pastors on the pulpit, but they are babes. They have not understood the burdens of eternity or the necessity of separation. They still live like the beasts of the field. Their appetite is their greatest motivation for their action. What is your age in the spirit? He said, when Moses was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The man began to understand that for the destiny of Israel to have meaning, then somebody must take the burden of separation. Because every time humanity migrates, there is a definite purpose that God has for every generation. The reason we cry for revival is so that there will be lampstands that will stand as witnesses in every generation to bear the burden of the kingdom and become the witnesses of Zion. If a revival is rises on your campus today, iniquity will bow. This is not about talking Bible. This is about giving expression to the life of God, because a man has come under the government of the Holy Spirit. When we cry revival, we are beginning to look at what the meaning of life is about. We are beginning to evaluate life beyond the things that we have. We are beginning to try, by all means, to journey into immortality and find out what was written concerning us and live for those things. It is for this kind of understanding that the Bible said, Paul and Barnabas, he said, these be the men that hazarded their lives for the gospel. When they evaluated all things correctly, they understood that the church will never move forward until they find the counsel of God for the body of Christ. And for that, they were willing to risk their lives. Such men will be the most ranking in the world to come. They have understood that everything in time is a moment. Even if you live for 100 years in time, it's only a moment. When you journey into the ambience of eternity, then you will realize that time itself was a lie. It was an airtime, a ticket that God gave you in order to invest in the borders of eternity. How would Moses stand on the mountain for 40 days? And Moses will give a narrative of what happened for more than 1,500 years. Time is a lie. The guy saw through the vent of eternity. And he looked at God when he was creating the foundations of the world. He looked at God when he was creating Adam. And he looked at after Adam. He saw Seth. He looked after Seth. He looked until he saw the day he was born. That was many hundred years away. But he only looked at those dimensions in 40 days. Because when you look at eternity, you discover time is a lie. That's where your 50 years will no longer count. The only thing that will make your 50 years count is the quality of life you live because of the things that you did according to what was written concerning you. But unfortunately, many are children, they are babes. I don't have time to enter my topic. I can't enter my topic. We don't have time. You are exhausted. We will pray this night. Go and sleep and come back tomorrow. I will teach you the tenets of the kingdom so that you will know what to make your life count. Maybe you thought when you finish, you get your degree, master's, you get your PhD, then you have value. I'm doing my PhD now. Pastor is a doctor. There is something deeper than certificate. You may think when you have money and you are able to buy a plane, the more you have, the more large your appetite will become. Because the only thing that satisfies appetite, man was created with a vacuum. The only thing that satisfies that vacuum is the presence of God. Until a man is able to touch God and begin to live according to what God by his intelligence wrote concerning him, he will never be fulfilled. That is when every other thing you have will begin to count. Your certificate begins to count when you find out what was written concerning you. Your money begins to count when you find out what was written concerning you. And we are a very young generation. We don't understand the manipulation that is going on in the realm. If you know how many princes are in this campus, you will be amazed. You come on campus, you think it's about certificate. But you came as a virgin. At 300 level, you are already disflowered. When you came on campus, you wore only long skirts. At 200 level, you could go for lecture with bum short. Where are those lecturers coming from? You don't understand that where you are sitting is a hall of spiritual bodies. It's a hall where spirits compete for souls. This is a market in the realm of the spirit. You think you are doing philosophy. You are doing chemistry. Before you understand chemistry, you have become a master of the ways of water. You have become a princess in Babylon. But you have not even known the chemistry that you came from. You are still struggling with carryovers, but you are already a first-class student in the way of clubbing. You don't know that there are lecturers from Babylon that are walking this campus, bargaining your souls every morning because they understand that humankind have no value unless they begin to give expression to spirit. We were created to manifest spirit. That's why we are called humans. The spirit you give expression to is what determines the quality of your life. And that is where the handwriting of your destiny was written. But many have not understood, so they live for their appetite. Kados, Kados, Elohim Adonai, Elohim, we worship you, Lord. I wish I can tell you the story of revival this night. Then you will find where you are. You will discover that even though you are 10 years old, you are in a lineage. Some of you are in a lineage of many intercessors. Your family line in the flesh is not your true bloodline. There's a clan in the spirit. When you find yourself, then you understand that after Babalola died, the next offspring of Babalola is from the east. It doesn't need to come from the west, because in the spirit we have many tribes. Then you understand that even though Bethany Dahosa came from Benin, his grandson is from Umudike. You will know that you are from the lineage of apostles. Apostles that had tools to build foundations. That's why every time you speak wisdom that is beyond your age. You stood to talk. You didn't understand that you were connected to a river of inspiration. And every time you speak wisdom from the fountains of life, because you are from an ancestry. Your fathers may be in the lineage of Enoch. Some of you, your fathers are of the lineage of Elijah. So you come with fire. You don't understand your tribe in the spirit. You are living for your appetite. When you find yourself, then you will know that what we call life is an economy in the spirit that God is manipulating by himself. It's like this building. You know the block at the top may think it's hanging. That block doesn't know that it is there because there's a foundation. When that block gains understanding, it will take bearing from the ones under.
That's when your life will begin to count. The day you find yourself, then you will check the people in your tribe, what were they created for? Then you will discover that in your own tribe, you are intercessors. So prayer becomes your life. Because in your tribe, you are intercessors. You may never be known, but the things that God wants to do in time, the body rests on the shoulders of the intercessors. That's why they are hidden. There's no time for public show. If they come to the public, the building will crash. Have you seen the block that is in this foundation? That's who intercessors are. If you remove the block from the foundation, the building cracks. So you will stop struggling to hold the mic. Your place is at the back. And when you are there, you pray for 10 hours, then you begin to sense the atmosphere of heaven. Angels begin to visit you, and they tell you that in the next 5 years, Umudike will become the hub of revival. There's a prophet that is coming to this land, prepare the foundation. That prophet is supposed to come into campus, and on his matriculation day, he is initiated into the court. But you came 5 years before. So your job in the school is not primarily to get your degree. You will get your degree, but you came to prepare the foundation for the prophet that will blow the horn of revival. You see how spirits evaluate life. That's why if you cannot see from the realm of God, you have not started living. You only have oxygen on your nostrils. Others may think it's about BSc in chemistry. You know now that a prophet will come after you are gone. And the ministry of that prophet depends on what you do today. So they may not understand. But it's only in heaven that we will be judged. Only in heaven will the crown of life be granted. But only men that understand the whispers of heaven can live life correctly. Correctly. This is not a call unto irresponsibility, but this is a call unto meaning and purpose. How can you afford to sleep all night? You don't know why you are alive. The day you know why you were born, even sleep will become a luxury. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. Because every time you lie down, as the clock ticks, it's as if life is escaping from the earth. You know that everything is an airtime. It's no longer about time. Paul said, the life I live now, in the flesh, is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Even when he was to die, he said, for me to die is gain. That man knows what life is. Elohim Adonai. Elohim. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. You want to pray in tongues? You want to pray in tongues? Rise up. Let's pray for 10 minutes. You need a spirit to educate you. You need a spirit. You need a spirit to teach you. Brother, there are too many pastors. They can't talk from heaven. You need a spirit. Hey! You need a spirit to educate you, brother. That's when you will sense the empires of Zion, the whispers of your destiny. They come as echoes from eternity. You need a spirit. You need a spirit. The Bible said Abraham was in the hall of the Chaldees. God appeared to him. He said, leave thy country, leave thy kindred, leave thy father's house. Come to the land that I will show you. Abraham was a holding on to family. He had not seen from heaven. The day he understood heaven, Abraham separated even from Lot. His life became a way on the altar because he knew fraternity was only with the spirit of the I am that I am. A spirit needs to teach you, brother. Kamara kabasa benetata. Homole kasania seriata. Hamrinana sakabaria selebondo. Ariro rahabapas. River flow, let it adore my flow. In your church once again, let it adore be seen. Listen, we are going to pray one prayer point tonight. Tell the Lord to open your understanding. Imagine for a moment that you were in Egypt with Moses.
and Moses became the Pharaoh of Egypt. You will say Moses was a great king, but imagine what a waste of life it would have been. Because Moses had understanding of who he was, even in heaven with the things. Moses became an immortal entity on earth because he saw him that was a victim. There's an understanding you need to have that everything man calls success will become nothing to you because you will be rated only by the scales of heaven. There's a scale. It's called a shekel, the weight system of the shekels of the sanctuary. Can you ask the Lord for understanding so that you can evaluate your life correctly? It's enough to be called a scholar. It's good enough to be called a prophet. It's good enough to be called a wealthy man. But there is something heaven says about you. Who are you in your spirit? He came to John. He said, who art thou? John didn't say, I'm a lawyer. John didn't say, I'm the son of a priest. He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare well for the Lord and for eternity. John is the voice. Jesus said, of all men that live, there is none like John, because he found that he was the voice. Do you know who you are? Why were you created? Why do you have to appear now? You want to cry for understanding. Understanding is the heaviest molecule in the spirit realm. Let it overflow in your church once again. Let it overflow. Come on, cry to the Lord. Open my understanding, Lord. Let me discover my purpose. Why am I here? So that the fire that will come upon me will be channeled correctly. It's a waste to have you in your car if you are going in the wrong direction. There's no revival unless men know why they were born. Why were you born? Why were you cast to dwell among men? Why were you not persecuted among the entire clan? Why did God create you? Why are you here at a time like this? Esther found why she was here. Esther found out. And for a memorial, for eternity, her name would be a memorial. Kamarataka. Hey!
Fresh wine. A fresh wine.
Holy Spirit. Stop praying. It's time to drink. Don't pray anymore. Don't pray. I'm not ministering in the spirit. Listen. We just ascended a bit. And I want you to drink from where you have entered. It's not all the time you need a pastor. There are times when you can work spiritual operations in your bedroom. Ask the Holy Ghost for a fresh drink now. Nobody will say, Lord, touch. But listen, your heart plugged to the Lord. Ask him for a fresh drink. And you will find yourself living this beauty. You will be lost in the presence. Holy Spirit, thank you for that which you want to do now. I stand as a witness in time. And as I stretch my hands in that direction, I make it happen by the Spirit of the living God. Let a fresh ceremony begin. Let men be drunk, women be drunk in the Spirit, and let the fresh fire come upon their altar. Holy Spirit of God, let the ceremony begin. Lord, give them fresh wine now. Barash, Kamar, Kalakila, Kabata, Tadia, Setatali, 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 Osha, Captain, Omer, Karake, Posubo, Balakai, Hepa, Hepa. I don't want people running around, enjoying themselves. Nikatana, Skadesh, Skadesh. Thank you, Father. Like a rain, let it fall. Like fire, like a rain, let your glory. Just lift your hands toward heaven. I just came to greet you tonight. Tomorrow, I will teach you deep things that you have never heard in your life, so that you will understand that life in itself cannot be judged in time. There's a borderline you need to cross to understand the meaning of life. I will show you the politics that goes on in the realm of the spirit. And when I'm able to bring it, then I will convert it to a festival of power. Precious Holy Spirit, tonight I pray for your children. I ask that you prepare their hearts for the encounter that just began. As they go to sleep, Lord, I ask that you grant angelic visitation from tonight and through the course of this program. Let many enter into the encounter that will change their stories forever. I bless them with your presence. I bless them with the anointing. I bless them with faith. I bless them with wisdom. And I bless them with your ability. Father, keep them within the confines of your will, and your name be glorified. In Jesus' name.